of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we truly do live because of Jesus. He is the Word. And He is the reason why we're alive. What He did more than roughly 2,000 years ago, give or take, made us free. You know, over 200 years ago, a group of men got together, wrote a letter to a tyrannical king, and said, enough is enough. We want freedom. We celebrate that this weekend. We celebrate independence. That means we are free from somebody else controlling us. Just as Jesus paid a price and did something that freed us. He said, it is enough. It's done. When He said it is finished on the cross, He was saying, it's done. You no longer have to be slave to religion. You no longer have to be slave to sin. You don't have to be a slave to your natural being, if you're following me. If you've noticed you have a temper, you do not have to be a slave to that. You can overcome that. To depression. It was a few years ago, I experienced a doubt about that myself. And I learned I don't have to be oppressed by that thing. I don't have to be. Because I'll be honest with you, I did not like the way it made me feel. I'm usually one who's looking for something, looking for life, looking for the fun. And all I could think about is, I don't care if I die. That's not a good thing to do when you're riding 70 miles an hour on a motorcycle. But God said I didn't have to be controlled by it. You don't have to be controlled by it. Today, we celebrate. This weekend is about independence, about freedom. Celebrate your freedom in Christ. What He did. He did so much for us. We do not have to rely on drugs and alcohol to find peace and relaxation. I feel for people that are still stuck with that, having to grab that to find freedom. You don't have to, folks. And neither do you have to live in guilt and condemnation of what you've done in the past. Guilt and condemnation only bring about those chains back to you. I prefer to look back at those chains and say, yep, I'm free. No longer am I controlled. Today, declare that you are free. You are alive because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for the independence that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for the many, many ways that He has broke through for us. He has delivered us. He has set us free. And now, Lord, we thank You and praise You that today we also celebrate independence and freedom in this country. Lord, I thank You for the men and women who have died and those who have served throughout the years to support this freedom, Lord. And we continue to pray and uplift our government. Lord, I thank You and praise You for our ability now and our right to give You our tithes and our offerings. I bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the junior church is dismissed. You looking for cards? Okay. Okay, just a quick reminder, if you need a prayer request card, Pat's got a few in his hand. I got that one. Right there. I do have a little something I'm going to share this morning. Like I said, God, I believe this is something God is stirring and turning in me to do it this way. Because to be honest with you, you know, if you watch, I love war movies. So, you know, if you're in a battle, you're in something, you know, you're up to here and you're surrounded and you have one other person, your hope goes up, does it not? But imagine you're up to here and an entire battalion comes across the hill to your aid. You know what happens then? You just release. Your body's just like, I'm saved. I'm not going to die. Well, hello, here's the battalion. I throughout the week get to think about what am I going to do for this service, Lord? And you know what, I'm going to tell you something. I don't worry about it. If I've gone all week and God hasn't given me anything for the service right then and there, I don't worry about it. I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing different? Why? You know, a lot of people say, oh, I've got to have my notes. I've got to have everything. You know what? God knows you need that. And I did too. And then he said, here, you want to know me a different way than any other preacher? I've learned him a totally different way. It's called being instant in season and out of season. Paul talked about that. Being ready, being able to listen to what the Holy Spirit says right then and there. So I've threw off that worry. Now, I ain't going to lie, over the years, I've picked up other worries. You ever done that? I don't worry about that no more. Well, then you got something else you find to worry about. That's just our human nature that we need to crucify. But as I was talking to the Lord, I just kept hearing two words come up in my head, and it was prayer and supplication. We're going to look at that scripture here in a moment that talks about that. But I'm wanting you to focus on what we're going to do today. This is the show. We're going to go before the Lord. We're going to pray. We're going to see God do things. Now, I'm going to open it up here in a little bit for some testimonies, okay? And I want to, just a couple reminders. Please try to keep it as brief as possible. Do not give the devil glory in it. I remember when we first got, my mom and dad first got saved, we went to a denominational church. And, you know, testimony time was part of the service in that denomination. And people would stand up, oh, I want y'all to remember me. The devil's just been kicking. That's not a testimony to God. If that's what you got, please keep your mouth shut. And I tell it to you like that because what you're doing is you're glorifying the devil, the enemy. You're making him seem bigger and more powerful than your God. I had Angela had recorded something the other day, and she just on me and on me and on me. You got to watch this. You got to watch this. I'm like, come on. I mean, is anything blowing up in it, in any fire, you know, trucks, cars, anything blowing up? Well, it was a preacher. And it was a preacher who laid hands on us. Probably one of the very first ones. His name is Rodney Howard Brown. And he's American now. He has since naturalized. But he was straight from South Africa, and God had called him to the United States to be a missionary. To the United States. And he was like, God, the United States sends out more missionaries than all the countries in the world combined. And he said, yeah, but they need missionaries. They need help. And Rodney Howard Brown was one of the first ones on the scene who really talked about the move of the Holy Spirit and the restoration of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, folks, I remember, you know, like I said, I was a skeptic in the beginning of a lot of things. And I know I felt the power of God in one of his meetings. We went to Washington, D.C., and Angela and I went up to be prayed for. And at this time, Rodney was a big boy. And he was up on a stage. What kind of church was it? A Methodist? This was a Methodist church we're having a spirit-filled meeting in. And this stage probably was about this much higher. And Angela and I came up on the corner, like right in there. And he came down. His arms like this, and it was like an eagle coming in. I'm like, okay, and then, man, he just, and I don't even remember if he fully made contact with us, but both of us went right there on the floor, and I don't remember much more. Angel probably remembers more than I do, but anyhow, he was talking on this program, and he's been saying, you know, we need revival. And he starts referencing back to the revivals of the 1700s and the 1800s where people were getting saved. And that, if we understand the word revival, is actually what we're supposed to be doing is evangelism. But the problem with today is we've all gotten into, well, I need more joy. Find your joy in the Lord, not in me, not in her, not in her, not in yourself. Find it in God. And I promise you, folks, the depression you deal with will start to fade away because you've got to find your joy in something outside of yourself, something that cannot change. Circumstances change, do they not? But anyhow, Rodney started going on, and boy, I tell you what, he really got going on about the swamp, the D.C. swamp. And, you know, and all this stuff. He said, churches aren't preaching the truth today because they're worried about losing their tax-exempt status. Yeah. And then he said, I'll tell you what you can do with that tax-exempt status. He says, I'll roll it up, mail it back to you, and send you back a big old jar of Vaseline, and you can use it as a suppository. He said, I'm preaching the truth. And it was, and his poor wife, she's over here, she's trying to, you know, reel him in, but boy, when you get a fired up preacher going on something like that, he was going for it. He said, I'd go in, I'd fire them all. They all need to be fired. But he was saying some things that just really started stirring, you know, God is moving on us in me that, this is what we're doing, praying. But there's a point he made up as just as well. Jesus prayed a lot, but he listened to what the Holy Spirit said because the Holy Spirit told him what God said to do. And he said, you remember the time he went into the church or he went into the temple and cleaned it? He said, sometimes you got to do something. And have I not been on you, on the entire body of Christ about this? We have to do things. If change is going to happen, it's because we got out there and did something. Not because we sat back and, well, I think I said a prayer. I don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe it, why are you praying? Folks, prayer is powerful. But I think so many people pray amiss. They're praying for things that are not God's will. They're praying for what they think is God's will, which is why we pray in the Holy Spirit, because there are things. Listen, I know there are people saying, I know the will of God and everything. They're a liar. Run. Because they're the ones sitting there trying to establish the church as the leadership in the country, and that's not what God ever wanted. He wanted Christians there, yes, but he doesn't want church leaders. He doesn't want us ruling over each other. They miss that part. Jesus, I want to be on your right hand. I want to be on your left hand. Which one of us is greater? He says, you people are worse than Gentiles. We have so much power in prayer. We can affect change in people's lives. We can move things. We can move mountains. We can open doors by prayer and by doing what God tells us to do about it. Sometimes God may tell you not to do anything. Sometimes God may tell you to do something and you're like, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. And the word of, I believe it was Naaman, his servant, after he went to the prophet and he said, you know, I want you to pray for me and be healed so I can be healed of this leprosy. The prophet said, go take a bath in the river 7 times. I want you to dip 7 times in that river. You need to understand, folks, the Jordan River is not this great, big, scenic river. It's actually very narrow in a lot of spots. It's not much more than a creek. It'd be about like the Whetstone. It's tiny. And they did not view it as really, I mean, it was holy to the Israelites, but everybody else said, that is a quagmire. That is sewage. And if you remember, a lot of times sewers did go straight to the rivers. And he's like, I'm not dipping in that thing. And he goes away mad, and his servant says, but master, if he asked you to do some great feat, would you have not done it? Well, yeah. He said all he asked you to do was dip 7 times. Man dipped 7 times. On the 7th time up, his leprosy was cured. See, sometimes God may ask us to do something that's just a little bit stupid in our minds. But what was Naaman's real problem? Pride. He was too proud to do what God asked him to do. We need to make sure we're not too proud to do what God, to do the thing God asks us to do. That's real simple, isn't it? But it's actually harder to pull off. Oh, I'm not going to get down there. I'm not going to get my hands dirty with that person. Listen, folks, if you're not getting dirty, you're not working. I can always tell the guys that found a way to scam when it came to doing work. They were the ones that were clean. Because I've never had a job where I got to stay clean. When I was a diesel mechanic in the shop with more guys than just me, I could find the guys who had found a way to skate. So I made sure they were the ones that cleaned in the toilets the next time. But I want to read you something. Turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your requests, or let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. First off, be anxious. The word is really, don't worry. I believe the Greek word is marizo. And it's what it means. Jesus said, don't worry, did he not? Don't worry about how tall you are or aren't. Don't worry about how much money you make, how much food you've got backed up, how much money you got in the bank. All of that can fail. I mean, I laugh at so many people today. They're doomsday preppers. They're trying to save up water. They're trying to save up fuel. They're trying to save up all this so that when the stuff hits the fan, they've got food, they've got this, they've got that. But the problem is, you're going to run out of fuel, and if everything's shut down, they ain't pumping any. Then what are you going to do? You got to learn to trust God. He said, but don't be anxious about any of this stuff. Live. Don't worry about the things you can't change. And so many people are trying to change things that they were never called to change. I've never been called to a public office. I've got great ideas, and I try to share them, that maybe one of these days somebody will hear it. But I'm not called to public office. I'm kind of like Jesse. I'd be a dictator. I'd want you to do it my way because I said. Jesse always jokes about being a world dictator. Although it might not be a joke, I don't know. But you see, with don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about the things, even the requests you got here today. Do not worry about them. And it says, and with all supplication. The supplication here, you know, I've always heard, well, you know, that's praying in the Spirit. That's not what the word means at all. It means a total lifting it up off of your shoulders and giving it to God and leaving it there. Now, that doesn't mean that. And let me put it this way. It went in a little further, so I got to keep going there. You know, people have said, pray through, pray through, pray through. And then you're done praying, and you've prayed and you prayed, but you don't feel that burden. You pray until your burden has lifted. That's when you're done praying. You pray until you no longer carrying that burden. Sometimes you'll be praying and won't know why you're praying, but you have a burden, but then it'll lift. There have been people that have prayed for hours. I prayed in here for several hours one time. Just walked up and down these rows. Didn't know why I was praying. And it started in a different meeting. And I just walked out of that room of prayer and I walked in here and I prayed. Then there are other people, well, you got to pray an hour a day or you ain't doing nothing. All hogwash. Let me ask you a question. Most of you know, the police, they teach you to shoot twice. Pop, pop. Right? Center mass. Pop, pop. I was not trained that way. I was trained one shot, one kill. Why waste ammo? It's called discipline and skill. That's the way I was trained. Now, the point of that being, I believe that when I pray, just as the centurion said, Lord, all you got to do is say the word. I believe that when I speak something, that God is now sending the angels and the powers that need to be moved into play. I don't believe that I'm just praying to the air. I pray to God, the omnipotent, the all-powerful. And if I feel the need to keep praying, I keep praying. But I pray in the Spirit because I've now said the words that I know I need to say. It's not about how many words I can speak. That's why I have to laugh at people when we get, how many of you have been in denominational churches? Okay. You know their prayers. Some of their prayers are the same prayer every week because it's in their book. They have books of prayers. They have an outline that somebody has said, this is how your service will go. And don't you dare deviate from it because the row of deacons is going to come after you. Deacons are supposed to be taking care of the church, the building, the ministries, cleaning the carpets, everything. That's the role of the deacon, not ruling the church. That's the role of the elders, and the head elder is the pastor. But they've taken that power away, so they don't believe in prayer anymore. They don't believe in real power. Well, it's power corrupts. Oh, I'll agree it does. I will fully agree that power does corrupt. But when we turn things over to God, after we have prayed and we feel that burden lift, we feel the weight lifted off of our shoulder over that. That doesn't mean that, you know, you got to immobilize. Well, I got to go to work. I'm going to lose my job and pray and pray and pray. And then your boss says, you're fired. You are fired. Oh, but God told me to pray. Do your legs not move while you pray? Can you not walk and chew bubblegum at the same time? Prayer does not immobilize us. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. I got to go to work. Get in my car. I start my car. I put it in drive and I pray on my way to work. And if I'm sitting there, and if I don't have to be concentrating on something, I can pray then. When I used to run machinery, I could pray doing it. It wasn't that hard. It's not hard sticking a front end loader into the hillside, digging the dirt, and dumping it in a dump truck. I could still see, I could still function, and I could pray. And during many of those times is when God began showing me and giving me visions of what I'm doing today. So prayer does not immobilize us. I have to laugh at people that they just become... rigor mortis sets in when they pray and they're done. Now I know that there's been times people have just gone catatonic. I don't know what's going on in them, but I'm one of those guys. You go catatonic, I'm locking the door. If I'm the one that opens, I'm leaving. That's between you and God. Oh, but we can't leave them. Yeah, you can. It's between them and God. God doesn't need you here. Okay? But I have seen that. But with all supplication, so when you pray and that burden lifts, one, first off, when you pray, trust that God is moving. When we pray about these things, trust God is moving. Prayer is not this good feeling that I'm sending out to you, you know. Please, somebody send me good thoughts. You can keep your thoughts.
I need prayer
and something that is strong and powerful. You know, like something that created the universe to a minuscule mathematic equation that fries my brain, which doesn't take a whole lot. Had a guy ask me last night, "Your contractor?" I said, "Yeah." I was at Lowe's. He said, "I got a sidewalk 47 feet long, and I need to know how many 12-foot deck boards I need, and each one will make three." Man, I was already spent for the day. We finally figured out he needed 32. I said, "I know it's going to stink loading them, but you can always bring the extras back." But 47 feet, I said, "Yeah, you're going to need a bunch." Folks, we have got to pray and believe. That's all Jesus said. Pastor Dosek's church, the name of it is Only Believe. Because Jesus said to the man with the son who is having epilepsy seizures, he said, "Lord, can this happen?" He said, "If you only believe." I believe. That's all it takes. You don't have to convince yourself. You don't have to sit down for 6 months and study and pray and fast to believe. It's, I believe. Then he said, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving. Give God thanks for moving. Bless the situation. If you're praying for a loved one, thank God that he's moving on their behalf, that they're being healed, and that God's going to get the glory out of this. Start thanking him. If we are more grateful when we pray, I believe we'll see more happening. But if we come to God, "Lord, I need $100 in my checking account yesterday." Well, here's the problem, because here's what's hilarious. You needed $100 yesterday. God knew you needed that $100. Well, the day before you needed that $100, God sent somebody to you, and they said, "Hey, can you help me? I need you for just a couple hours to help me today." "Oh, no, brother, I'm too busy. I can't do that." That brother was going to pay you $100. But no, here's what we want. We want washing or dryer money. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Dryer money when you open the dryer and 20 falls out. That's happened. Sometimes it was because it was in my pocket. It's like, woohoo. I reached in my shorts the other day and reached out. Oh, hey, there's something in my pocket. Pulled it out, it was $15. Boy, I felt rich. But I was also like, thank God I knew I had $15 more on me the other day. I couldn't remember where it went. Well, that's what we want. We want dryer money. Nowhere does God ever say, "I'm going to bless you with dryer money." Those are occasions. Rest of the time, he's going to give you opportunity. "Well, God, I'm going to need a new car here." All right, guess what you're about to going to get? You're going to get an opportunity to sow a seed. Sow the seed. Don't be stingy. "Well, Lord, this $150 goes towards my car. I'm saving up." God said, sow it. If he said, sow the seed, sow the doggone seed. I can't tell you enough. Listen to God. He will bless you. He will give you above what you were even thinking. But it takes faith. And faith is trusting. "Okay, God, this is the $150 I saved for that." Boom. And then here's a part. I was only going to read verse 6. And then I was standing back there and I was reading and I said, "Wait a minute. You got to have verse 7. And the peace of God, if you bring your requests to God, leave them there." Quit taking them off the altar. When you bring them to God, leave them here. Don't be coming back, "Oh God, I'm so concerned. I'm so concerned."
Of course you're concerned. You don't believe God is God. You believe you're God. And you're a failure. I'm just going to put it that way. As God, you are a failure. We failed the first time we tried to be God, did we not? Back in the Garden of Eden. Why do we think we can be God now? If we leave our prayer requests after we have prayed, and we've come, here's where the breakthrough mainly happens, folks. I don't believe the breakthrough is as much spiritual as it is mental for us. Okay, see, I serve a nuclear God, not the God who just developed gunpowder. You understand weaponry speaking here. The nuclear God is high speed, low drag. The other one, well, it might go off. We don't know. I serve a God that when he said, let there be light, even though the sun had not been restored at that time, heaven and earth were illuminated. I serve the God who created all of these things just because he said, I want to create a universe. Put all these little planets in it, some of them all a bunch of gas. This one here, I'm going to set it so that it's a third planet in it in succession from its sun. And it's going to be perfect to maintain life that is delicate. Go a little further, we freeze to death. A little closer, and we're all crispy critters. See, I serve that God. So my opinion, this is my opinion, say his opinion. The breakthrough has to happen here. You finally came to a point, I believe God. I believe God's going to take care of this. I believe God's got this. I believe. And you leave it there. Doesn't mean that you don't think about it. There's a difference between worrying about something and thinking about something. Because when you're worried about it, you're trying to figure out how you can fix the situation, aren't you? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about my car. I don't know. You got duct tape? You laugh. I'm serious. I can't tell you how much stuff. I don't know what's wrong with it. Grab the duct tape. Tape it up. I got to go to work. I got to get to my job. I've got a family to feed. You know what I learned? I learned to trust God in all of that. Well, God didn't fix your car. Well, it did eventually, but I learned to trust him. That's why I can do things on a spur. I don't have to wait until all the stars line up in perfect succession so that I can move. When God told us to move, I didn't have a job. I was leaving friends that I really liked, a job I liked. As a matter of fact, the guy's wife, the owner of the business, told him to promote me so that I would stay. He said, make him a supervisor. I was the lowest man on the totem. Well, there was one other. We called him Gomer because he was like Gomer Pyle. He put 8 door locks in backwards and said somebody went behind him and flipped them all around to play a trick on him. Yeah. Sad part is he was studying to be a minister. I think he has had a little bit to learn. I pray he has. But we didn't have a job. Joshua's birth was covered. We had it covered in North Carolina. Everything. We had a nice place to live. Then God said, I want you to move. If it hadn't been for being able to trust God in season and out of season, when things are going good and when things are going crappy, I would not have been able to have moved because, God, I don't have a job. I do not have a job, Lord. Do you understand this? You made me the provider for my family, and I can't provide because I don't have a job. I don't have a house. We don't have nothing. But we did it. And that Monday, I think we came back on Tuesday. We came back on Tuesday. That Monday, I got a call from the Flexible Corporation. Are you available for an interview this week? I said, I'm moving home tomorrow. I did put out some applications. And I said, I'm leaving on Tuesday. Can I come in Thursday? They said, yes. I went in, I interviewed, filled out all my paperwork. Don Fulmer, Vietnam vet, captain in the Army. He was the general, he ran the whole plant, looked at me, said, so what's your painting experience? I was applying to be a painter, painting 50-foot buses, you know what I'm saying? I said, zero. I said, I primed a gas tank for a Harley Davidson in the custom shop I worked in. That was it. That's not hard. I could have done another spray can. He looked at me, he said, well, you're a Marine, you'll figure it out, and hired me on the spot. Folks, I went from making $6-7 an hour, starting out at $18 an hour, by trusting God. And I was going to get a new shot at it a few months later, because the plant shut down, and the cash cow went away. But we trusted God, and God continued to provide. See, we look at these bad situations, oh, there's no God. Where's my God? He's right there with you. Trust Him. He'll provide for you. That's all you got to do. So when we pray today, believe, trust Him. Hold on. That, you know what? Things aren't looking the way I think they should look. I thought, man, bless God, we're going to come back, and whew, we're going to be prosperous. No more struggles. I've learned to trust God in everything. You need to trust God with your prayer requests. Let them be. When we pray for them, leave them. Don't keep jerking them off and worrying about them. Your worry is not doing a thing for them. As a matter of fact, it's messing up your digestive tract. Your blood pressure is going. Just let it go. If you can't control it, if it's not like a spare flat tire. If you can't just go out and change it, don't worry about it. I've been accused of not caring. And it's not because I don't care. It's because I'm not worrying about it. I can't do anything. You can ask Angela. Something happening in their life. I want to fix it. If you got somebody coming against you, I want to fix them in more than one way. I want to stop it, but that's me. And I've had to learn to back off because I can't. And it does me absolutely no good. So it's not going to do you any good either. You're not going to do anything by worrying. Amen? All right. If you got any prayer requests, go ahead and get them up here to me. And while we're at that, if you have a quick testimony. I know some of you, we prayed for some things.
Last month, and I started to get a little worried about how I was going to handle
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Michelle. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We need good teachers in Highland too. Mrs. Scott is now a Scott. It's Brenda. God. Yes. Yeah. Because that's kind of an extremely rare thing anyhow, right? Yeah.
And they said that his organs, if he hadn't had the transplant, he wouldn't have lasted much longer. And he's only 31. He's a young fellow.
Yeah.
And my second one is, we prayed for my daughter and I to go out to California to see the grandson in prison. And we got there, and I got to hug him for the first time in 4 years. And oh my gosh, we just had the best visit with him, and he's doing so good. You know, he's involved in a lot of the good things, programs that are going on in prison, and his attitude is good. And he said, he called me meeting. He said, meeting, don't worry about me, I'm okay. So that relieved me and my daughter.
Yeah.
That was
good.
A good report.
Amen.
And we prayed for our trip, and it was just so smooth. It was quick, but good.
Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Okay.
You prayed for me last Sunday on my toes, and I have no more pain.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I had injured myself, and I just thought, okay, this is stupid to keep walking around hurting. I'm going to ask for prayer, and we'll go figure. God is good.
Praise God. Does that mean you're going to quit harping on us to rub your feet?
No.
No? Oh, okay. That's a necessary, okay, yeah. Every time one of us sits down, here comes a foot. And the toes wiggle. Really? No. Nah. Yeah, she does. She makes deals. 5 for 5. All right, praise God. Do I have all the prayer requests? Okay. We're going to pray